You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. And with me always is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. In today's episode, our guests will be talking about how to build a rental portfolio to retire early and the steps you need to take to get there.
That's right, Charles. And he'll also talk about the five things he did to make him successful as a breakthrough investor over the years. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Hey everyone, it's Charles Rose Jr. with Breakthrough Investor. Well, we help you break through limiting beliefs and barriers to get to that next level as an investor. And today with me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host and just an awesome guy. William, what's up, brother?
Oh, I'm good, Charles. Excited to be here. I hope you're having a great time. I know we're really looking forward to this episode. Our guest tonight is a pretty interesting guy, has an interesting background. He's a prior military as well. So I'm always interested to hear guys that went from being in the military to doing real estate and how that transition really happened. But super excited to dive into the episode tonight.
Yeah, man, I'm super excited too, man. And this guy I call him an expert in the real estate space. I mean, he's pretty sharp. He's been doing it for a long time. And I just love speaking to people like that because they have so much knowledge. I mean, and not only does he have the knowledge, but he has the experience to back it up, man. Yeah, it's just phenomenal how he's accumulated a large portfolio of rental properties across multiple markets in the US, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking single family, multifamily, commercial, and he's the founder and CEO of Rent to Retirement, nation's leading turnkey investment company. So, and he's been published on national platforms like Forbes, USA Today, Fox News, NBC, CBS, and so many others. So it's going to be really, really looking forward to hearing his story and maybe some of the adversity he's had to come over, those barriers, those walls, so to speak, and how he got over those. And just looking forward to hearing some stories from him on that.
100%, man. I think, man, we're stalling this whole thing, William, because our audience right now is listening and they're wondering, who is this awesome guy? And so we get the awesome privilege of introducing. So welcome to the show, Zach Leemaster. What's up, Zach?
Hey guys, Charles, William, you guys are really talking me up quite a bit, but I appreciate the intro. And Charles, yeah, I think it's very fitting for the Breakthrough podcast that your background is a brick wall. I think you need some virtual effects of like smashing that down halfway through the episode. But yeah, no, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm excited to be here and just talk about getting started and scaling in real estate.
Absolutely. Zach, that's a really good idea. William, we probably should kind of play off of that theme with the smashing the bricks and everything. So
it's kind of like the old Kool-Aid commercial.
Oh yeah. He's giving it ideas already and we haven't even got started. But Zach, man, Zach, so I know a lot of people know your story. I mean, you've been on so many media outlets, but for those who haven't heard your story yet, Zach, tell us where it all started with your real estate investing journey. And let's start from the beginning.
Certainly. So I think for really early on in life, I didn't come from money. I wasn't rags to riches type of thing either, but my parents were blue collar, both electricians, worked all the time. My dad, always constantly talked about his retirement picture and ultimately got cancer and didn't end up being able to enjoy his retirement that he talked about so much working his entire life. That kind of stuck with me a little bit. And so I was conscious about money and thinking about like financial independence, right? And a lot of people think this way, but it really stuck with me of like, I'm going to achieve that, right? However it's going to be. And so that, I think I carried that from a younger age and throughout my investing career. But real estate specifically, I mean, I think I, like most people, probably read the Kiyosaki saga, right? And just it really connected with me about physical assets. And so I was interested in real estate. This was even when I was in school. I went to school to become an optometrist. That's where I met my wife. And then I went straight into the Air Force as an Air Force captain after that, because I was on scholarship and practiced optometry for 7 years. But it was first when I joined the Air Force is when I actually had the opportunity to buy real estate. I did some wholesaling and some things kind of build up capital. But from a rental perspective, I used my VA loan and I bought a rental property that I lived in half, rented out the other half. And that's just a perfect way to get started, right? I was able to put no money down. SBA loan has no PMI. And basically the rent covered the mortgage. And that's where it really clicked with me. Like, real estate is a tangible asset. You can physically see the results of it. You have control over it versus stocks or something that, you know, you really don't. And I just really enjoyed it, just the simplicity of it and the math. And so from that point, and this was probably about 15 years ago when I bought that first duplex, I bought more real estate after that, right? I just got the bug and I found more ways. I actually moved out of that one, kept it as a rental, use a VA loan again, which you can do. A lot of people don't know that, and bought another duplex. And so just kind of, you know, consistently acquired these in no really plan or strategy. I just like the asset and then continue to buy these small multifamily properties in North Dakota. That's where I was stationed at the time. And then there was this point in time where my wife and I, it kind of clicked where, I mean, we're investing in North Dakota. That wasn't like the most attractive market to invest in for multiple reasons. It worked for cash flow, but we started investing out of state. And that's really the birthplace of our company today, Rent to Retirement, is where we found out that, hey, we can actually achieve better returns in multiple markets where we just saw better opportunity. It was more affordable. There's better growth, and built a system around that. It didn't start pretty, and we can go into that if you'd like. That's some adversity,
Yeah.
But
so Zach, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was actually just about to tell you, ask, you know, how was that whole process getting into, you know, investing out of state? Like, did you make some mistakes? Was it scary? Let's kind of unpack that, man.
Yeah, I think this is a really important thing to think about, because most people think that investing locally is the safer bet or the best thing to do because the real estate's there, it's tangible. And I'm not saying that's incorrect, but I will say that ultimately, if you want to grow a large portfolio, it's important to be conscious about other markets, because there's likely a better market outside of your local area that is more conducive to your goals. But yes, it seems daunting at first. I mean, for us, it's kind of ironic because we look to invest out of state and we first bought a turnkey property. That's the business we run today, but we did not have a good experience with that turnkey property. You know, it was at Southside Chicago, great rehab, terrible neighborhood, Section 8, tenants destroyed it within 6 months. We lost a bunch of money on it. So yeah, it was a nightmare and it wasn't a good experience. But I didn't stop there. And I was like, we bought three of those, by the way. So
in that bad neighborhood?
Well, I didn't know any better, right? I didn't do exceptional due diligence. And so I think that's kind of what a lot of people are fearful about, is like, how do I find out about the right area? How do I really know? And honestly, I just didn't do any due diligence. I looked at a pro forma and I was like, this is how this property is going to perform. Great. I'm going to buy it, you know?
Those three properties you bought, do you have any of them still, or did you dump them?
Oh no, man. They were on the downward spiral. So sometimes you just have to trim the fat, right, of the portfolio and cut your losses. So we ended up selling those at a loss for each one of those. And we could have just walked away at that point, but at that point we had already invested locally and had a good experience, but we're like, you know, there's a better way to do this. And so we kind of unpacked that experience. We talked about it and really evaluated all the areas where, not blaming it on anyone else, not blaming it on the person that sold us the property, the realtors, the contractors, the tenants, the government. There's so many else, you know, people to blame, but we just took accountability and we're like, what could we have done better?
Yeah.
And then it started, and we can unpack this if you'd like, but we started at the macro level. Like, why did we even choose Illinois and Chicago and that neighborhood? It's like, well, we didn't. And so we started to really develop a system and an approach to like, why are we investing in these areas? And it started with developing our goals. What's our price point? What type of things do we need? We like new construction, better class areas. And that's a lot of what we do today. But
I think you're hitting on something, because I know that some listeners are listening right now, and I've been through this point too, where you just kind of hit that wall and you don't really know what to do next. And so I'd really like for you to kind of like elaborate on that process, because I think that could be very helpful to some people listening right now. What would you say? Yeah.
Well, the options when you do hit that wall is to either continue or to quit, right? Or to stop or to pivot, I think. And that was certainly a turning point for us. I'm one of these people, and this has served me well in some areas and really burned me in others, but it's just, I'm like the ready, fire, aim type of person that's like, I'm going to build the chute on the way down, you know, or just figure it out as we go. And that's just, sometimes that works out well and serves you, but also sometimes, you know, you jump in things too quick. My wife is the opposite, so that's why we're a good balance. But yeah, I think for me, jumping into the property too quickly without doing any too much due diligence was really the biggest issue. But we had a conversation, I remember, one night, and she's just like, I don't think we should invest out of state any longer. It's like, let's just stick to what we know, just local. I was in the Air Force. We were about to leave. I was like, it doesn't matter, because, and of course, for us, that was something different. We weren't going to live in this area forever. But I was like, there's a ton of people doing, every successful person, we've been going to local RIAs. You know, I wish we had your guys' group at that point in time to attend. That would have helped us out tremendously. But basically, we realized that everyone we talked to that was successful was investing in different states. And so we realized, like, let's just get rid of, restart, and have a better plan, take our time going through the process. And we were just committed. I mean, at that point, guys, we liked real estate. We knew it was a great asset. And so not every asset you buy is going to be perfect or even be successful. But we knew that we just had to get back after and create a better plan.
Gotcha. So would you say it was beneficial for you to be around other investors who were investing above and at the same level as you, or just doing what you wanted to do? Would you say that was helpful for you?
Yeah. I mean, otherwise you're not going to grow, right? For sure. I mean, finding mentors and finding people to start though, William, we didn't necessarily have that. And we did just kind of jump in without that. And what I realized is, man, we're making all these common mistakes that everyone makes. And there could be someone that's further ahead of us that could just give us a little couple nuggets of knowledge that could avoid making those mistakes that could set us back, you know, years or for some people decades. So short answer is 100%. And, you know, I'd also say be cautious of who you take advice from. But if there's someone that's obviously ahead of you, because also we've had bad advice, but if there's someone ahead of you that is doing or in a place where you want to be, and I think this applies to relationships, to finances, to investing, to fitness, all these things. Yeah, surround yourself by them, right? It's like the law of averages.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome too. And Zach, man, I was looking at one of your front photos on your website where you have your team and the babies and everything and your family. Man, that is so awesome. And are you going to teach your kids from early age to build generational wealth?
Yes, we are. And thanks for that. That was last year and our kids are now 1 and 3. They were really young then. There are mascots with our logo on there. So, but that's like the why, you know, that's the why photo. Yeah. Like, why am I doing this? And it's really less about the money. You think it's about the money in the beginning. It is, because it's such a limiting factor, but it's more about the lifestyle and the education, because no one wants to just pass their children a bunch of money. We know how that turns out for a lot of people, but it's really about the lessons and how to think about money. But you also got to challenge your kids too sometimes. So I'm going to let them, you know, have some wounds and have those scars a little bit too, because I'm not going to be able to teach them everything, but certainly money from an early age. I don't know if you guys have kids, but I'm interested to hear what you would have to say too.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, I've got 3. So yeah, I totally intend to teach my children how to actually buy real estate, manage properties, and the different strategies. But I don't want the silver spoon in the mouth. Like, they have to take some hard knocks. They've got to learn a couple of things they need to learn. I'm there to help them and protect them from doing irreparable harm and things like that. But overall, I think it's really important for people to go through some harder things, but yeah, I don't want them to be spoon fed. So
yeah, I agree with you 100%, William. And I think, you know, you definitely want to start them early. So I have, I have one and another one on the way.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you, man. My daughter absolutely loved William's daughters. They were playing and was just crying so much when they left. That was last week, Monday, but totally. I definitely agree that, you know, with our kids, we have to train them early for sure. And, you know, I'm going to have my daughter right there. Like, she was at the meeting as well, too, our launch meeting. And she comes to RubeCon with us. Mm-hmm. And I just feel, you know, obviously I'm not an expert parent because I just have a almost 2-year-old and one on the way. But I feel like starting them in that environment from a young age, I feel like it's going to be so, so helpful for them.
What I've realized already, because my children are still very young, though, is sometimes your children, and if you think about your childhood, too, I think this would apply, but children learn a lot more from watching you, right? And seeing what you're doing versus what you want to tell them what to do all the time. But I think that really solidifies, especially the older they get, like seeing you do stuff. So, you know, your actions of investing and even dealing with some of the, and like incorporating them into those conversations about money and bringing them to those business meetings and things like that. I think that can be very powerful, you know?
Yeah. I was talking with somebody recently about what success looks like, because success really truly is very different to each individual person. So Charles' success is not the same as yours, Zach, or the same as mine. But I got to thinking of, well, what's that look like when you have kids? What does success actually look like? And ultimately, I came down to the decision that my version of success in that arena is for my kids to be better than me. And if they are better than me, then I have succeeded as a parent. And so my whole goal is to set my kids up for success, but ultimately they will have to make the decision on their own. I'm just there to provide that for them.
I love it. I love it.
That's pretty big. And man, this is awesome. I love how we're talking about family, because this is our why. So this, so we're not, you know, going off path. This is still on purpose. But you know, so Zach, like, let's, you know, on the subject of kids and your family, what are you doing to put that talk about, I know you're doing these things, but talk about some of these things that you're doing to put, you know, building that generational wealth in place. What are some of the businesses you're investing in and some of the things you're doing?
You're talking about from a personal standpoint, right? What less about teaching kids at this point?
Exactly. Like, these are the things that you're putting in place. You know, maybe you want to pass it down to your kids. And so talk about some of these businesses and different things that you're building to eventually pass it down or just use it to generate wealth in other areas.
So I've been investing in real estate for about 15 years at this point. We have a very large portfolio. It's diversified across a lot of residential. That's where I started, is mainly residential and, you know, single family, small multifamily, as I was telling you about. I've traded up. My first trade up, I love it. And by doing that, I mean 1031 exchanges, you know, and that's a beautiful like trajectory of building wealth. A lot of people, I think, especially maybe listening, are in this stage of like haven't acquired a rental property yet, or maybe they have a handful or they're trying to get to that next level. Mm-hmm. And it just takes dedication and time. I just want to say that. But there's this real cool trajectory when you get this hockey stick growth in real estate, where it's like you've invested in some good assets. Not all of them are going to be great, but they've appreciated in cash flow. Everyone's focused on cash flow, and that's good. But really, it's appreciation and equity that builds wealth over time, and then recycling that. So got to this point where I had enough equity to go through a 1031 exchange with a handful of properties, and I just bought more. I bought the same exact asset class, right, without having to pay any capital gains and without, you know, having to make a bunch of money to put as down payments. So I about doubled my portfolio size. This was about year 5 or 6 to invest. And then I did that again. And then I got a very large portfolio. I think it was probably over 40 doors at that point. And I was able to replace my active income as an optometrist at that point, which, wow, you know, is a 6-figure income. And that was good. And I think, you know, at that point, again, I could have maybe stopped or got comfortable, but I wanted to grow more. And we had already started rent to retirement at that point. You know, we're a turnkey business that does new construction houses where everything's handled for you and allows you to easily access different markets throughout the country. That was mainly from our experience investing out of state. But then we traded up again. A lot of assets what we own right now is commercial retail centers. We have 11 retail centers out here in Northern Colorado where I'm at. That's probably about 50 tenants between those. And, you know, we've used some creative financing with those as well as commercial loans. We've done cost segregation on those, which has really offset our business. And we bought some high-end short-term rentals. We have the 3 top grossing short-term rentals in Summit County, which is Keystone and Breckenridge out here as well. And those are, each one of those houses is their own business on their own. But that's kind of been my trajectory. So yeah, we'll continue to build a large portfolio. We'll optimize it. Like, our kids will get that more than likely, maybe our grandkids. So that's their problem at that point. But it's all about being, you know, every year we think about optimizing the portfolio. We think sometimes about consolidating and ensuring, like, reducing some of the noise. And it's all about, you know, optimization of debt and taxes every single year. Mm-hmm. And we've been fortunate that through some of our accelerated depreciation, which is the same thing that a lot of our investors do that are high income earners, we get these huge tax breaks. And that just allows us to reinvest, you know, more and more. So I guess, I don't know if I answered your question, Charles, with ability.
Yeah, you did. So I was trying to transition from, you know, family, our why, and then the generational wealth and the things you do to build it. So yeah, you definitely answered my question, because I wanted you to kind of touch on some of those things. But I also want to know, you know, William and I know, like, you know, William and I, we talk all the time and we're like, you know, okay, when should we do this next type of investment or this next business or this next thing, right? And you did all these different things. Like, how did you know when it was the right time to start a new business, a new venture, right? Versus something being a distraction? Like, how, like, what was that process? I'm so curious to know. I'm still trying to figure it out, by the way.
I don't think that's going to change. And I think that's the constant challenge. I don't know. I'm not one of these people that have started a bunch of businesses and not have them be successful. And then finally one click. Like, I just kind of started rent to retirement on a whim, you know, about a decade ago. And, you know, we're a very large company at this point. We do about 1,000 doors a year, you know, across 12 different markets, and help investors build their, you know, get started or build their individual portfolios. But I started it because for me, I think the business was successful because it's something like I really needed, or we started it out of our own necessity to want to invest in these different areas and have a system and a team around that and kind of optimize it. I think that's what allowed me to keep my passion in it. There's been a lot of things, ideas, like within the business that we wanted to try out, and they didn't go well, but we gave it a good, honest effort for a period of time. And when it didn't go well, we just pivoted to something else. I think what this might apply to people who are starting businesses or investing in real estate, everyone gets the shiny object syndrome, right? But man, you got to turn the blinders on and be hyper focused on at least something for a dedicated period of time. I truly believe that most people don't actually put in enough friggin' effort to get something off the ground because they're maybe lazy with it. It's an idea and it stays there, but you got to grind, man. There's that aspect of it. And if it's not really, if it's truly not really working, then do something else, but be honest with yourself about like, you got to do the ugly years, right? I mean, you got to turn in the 80-100 hour work weeks. Like starting a business is tough. Real estate, thankfully, doesn't always have to be that way. I mean, that's again, we try to offer real estate where it's more passive, but if you want to be an active real estate investor, you got to try it, man. And you got to invest, you have to invest money into it and you have to invest in yourself. I think that's where a lot of people fall short. This is something that you certainly help people with is, you know, investing in yourself, in your knowledge, but then you got to take that knowledge and put it into action. So I don't know, I could ramble on and on about that. But.
So I'm curious about your team. So you obviously, you invest in quite a few different areas, but what are your, when you say teams, what do you mean? Like how many people on average, what type of jobs are they? I'm sure you've got realtors, handymen, like guys probably can build entire houses, things like that. And then you have to have the ability to manage all of these people. And when I think about 12 cities, I'm like, that's a lot of moving parts. Like how does that look?
Yeah. And I'm going to maybe help to just kind of define like our business model a little bit, because not all those people are operating under, you know, our umbrella. We're leveraging teams that are already established in these areas. But so Renter Retirement, we're a turnkey provider. We mainly focus on build to rent properties. Essentially what we do is we identify markets throughout the country where we see, you know, investment potential. This would be, you know, areas that have landlord friendly legislation, low taxes, diversity of industries, obviously population, economic growth, good cash flow numbers, below the median house price point of, you know, 400K, things like this. We're good investment markets, areas we want to invest. And then we go in and we look at a microeconomic scale and look at, you know, jobs and transportation and certain areas that are up and coming, because we mainly want to focus on better class neighborhoods, B&A areas. We mainly focus on new construction because we like the limited maintenance and predictability of those and the growth. But then once we identify a market, we leverage, because our building teams, basically, we work with national and regional builders to build homes specifically for investors that are going to be rentals. These are still quality homes, but you know, they're different square footage. There's different things inside of the house that's mainly tailored towards renter, more durable and you know, less expensive to replace, things like that. We vet those products, we invest in them ourselves, and then we build the teams around that, right? So it's management teams. We're not doing any management. We're leveraging management teams in each one of these areas that we vet. That's actually the hardest team to vet is management, because you really don't know how they're going to perform until you're 1 or 2 years in with their performance. So often I'll be the guinea pig and I'll invest in some of those. And sometimes we'll refine their system. Then we find insurance agents, you know, agents of brokers if we need them, find lenders, different lenders that offer different products. And those lenders can be anywhere. But when we talk about a turnkey experience, really someone is buying a property in an area that they wouldn't have access to either, you know, otherwise, where it's going to be a productive rental for them to have positive cash flow. They're not going to have to manage it or try to build their own team from the distance, because we've already done that. And they can have the strong growth and attractiveness that that property is going to produce over time, kind of generally passively. And then we have all the teams around them. So even lending is a piece of this. So that's what we mean when we say turnkey, is all that encompassing and giving us some guidance about how to build a portfolio. There's a lot of creative loan structures out there that a lot of people just don't know about. So part of it is education. Most people think about when they're buying a single family house, they think about conventional loans. You need to put 20% down on a 30-year fixed loan because that's all they know about. And that is a great loan. There's also portfolio loans that we work with local credit unions where you can put as little as 5% down on up to 5 investment properties. We're not talking about living in the house. These are true investor loans. There's no PMI. There's no prepayment penalty. And these, you can acquire a lot more real estate in the areas they offer those loans and just be a more creative investor. Mm-hmm. So that's what we mean when we say we build our teams in these areas. We start with market research and then piece all the things in there that are important to build, you know, a generally passive and scalable portfolio over time.
That's awesome, man. I really want to like comment on something there, because I think this is so key. So we hear, you know, Zach at this point in his life where he has all these businesses, teams in place, even like how you study the markets when you go in, right? And then the Zach at the beginning where, I don't know if accidental is the word, you know, where you're kind of like, you know, you were buying houses with your VA loans and, you know, you're like, you're head first. So you like, you know, you do something and you figure it out after. So I think sometimes when people see you now, they're thinking, you know, oh, wow, like look at all these properties, look at all the success that he has. Like, how could I ever do that? But I think the key thing is to realize like, you know, Zach, you didn't start it where you are. And I think that's encouraging for people to hear your entire journey and realize that through hard work and not giving up, being consistent, you're able to achieve the success. Would you agree with that, Zach?
100%, Charles. And I didn't even want to be here when I first started investing in real estate. My goal was, you know, I think it was $3,000 a month. And I thought I was going to get there with five or six rentals. I was like, hey, I'll cover my expenses and the houses will grow over time. But then once I got there, it was like, well, I don't want to stop, right? And you just keep going. So, and this is over the course, like I said, about 15 years, but real estate investing, I don't know if you guys would agree with me. It's just, you know, we've heard these stats, right? Like more millionaires are made than real estate than any other asset class. And, you know, it's the most predictable path to wealth. I believe that, one, because it's a human necessity, especially in residential real estate. Mm-hmm. You're investing in housing. We have a shortage of 7.5 million houses in the US. So especially in the Southeast, these are growth areas. You're providing a service to humanity. I mean, that's something to be proud of and enjoy, even though tenants can be a pain sometimes. But my point is that if you can stay consistent with real estate investing, it doesn't take a lifetime to change your life. If you can mm-hmm. stay consistent, nose down, 100%. Just keep acquiring assets, you can make a big change in your life in a short period of time. It's not going to happen overnight, mm-hmm. but man, you just got to stay committed. And it's interesting how that your mindsets work, because we talk about limiting beliefs. Sometimes you put up your own wall, right? And you can mm-hmm. be your own worst enemy, because wow. it's hard to think that too far ahead. Like your mind won't let you realize that. Some dreamers do, you know, I certainly didn't, because I just this is where I want to be. But then once you reach that goal, which you will, if you stay dedicated enough, it's like, what's next, right? And that opens up your mind and mm-hmm. allows you to think through being through that next stage of life. We talk about financial independence, of kind of where I was, of covering my expenses, then maybe it's replacing your income if you want to do that. Because you don't have to either, right? No one's saying you have to go through, and everyone's, like William was saying, everyone's goals are different. But if you can achieve your goals, you're likely going to have another goal. But maybe the next level is covering your income. And then the next one is like, I'm truly independent. I can live a different lifestyle. I have generational wealth. But that doesn't happen overnight, guys. If you just keep your nose down, you can get mm-hmm. there. Anyone can.
Man, that's encouraging. Man, this is awesome. Man, Zach, man, this every time we talk to you, we always learn so many cool things, man. But, you know, more than likely, Zach, maybe we missed something. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our audience to help them to become a breakthrough investor just like you, man?
I think for a breakthrough is different for every person, right? Every person has a different challenge, whether it's financial, whether it's time, whether it's someone telling you that you're not going to succeed, or someone that just doesn't believe in you. There's always challenges, and there always will be. But if you can be someone who is just tenacious and, you know, just ready to, nothing's going to stop you. And you have to believe in yourself, right? You have to educate yourself. And then most importantly, you have to take action. Break through that first experience. If that's that first house, set yourself a goal, get a house in the next 90 days. If you don't have the capital to do it, figure out how to do it, right? Partner with someone, use a creative loan option, you know, do a seller finance, something along those lines, get it done. But guys, there's always going to be the next barrier, right? And it's always going to be different every time. But if you can be a breakthrough investor and accomplish that and not let anything stop you, then the sky's the limit. No mm-hmm. one's going to stop you from surpassing your goals. So hopefully that was a motivational ending.
Yeah, that was so motivational. And Zach, I remember the first time William and I spoke to you, man, you also told us the five things to make you successful. You mind if I share those, Zach, the last time?
Well, okay. I think this was the five things probably that wealthy people do, because we interviewed. And then I also have my own five things. But let's see if I can remember all of them. Is I think a year ago, last time we were on or close to it. First thing is got started and never stopped, right?
There you go.
Be a successful investor, you got to get started, obviously. The next thing is I think I maximize my resources, and the same mm-hmm. thing that investors do, because you always run out of money. Everyone runs out of money at some point in time, right? And so it's always like, you're running out of your down payment for the next property. How are you going to buy the next one? Well, figure it out. Bring in a partner, raise capital, use creative finance, maybe take a HELOC, maybe refinance one of the properties you already own, line of credit, find out about different financing options, we could put 5% down, things like that. So maximize all my resources, retirement accounts, right? Trade them into a self-directed IRA. Just always found a way to keep growing. The next thing that I did, I believe I said, was to maximize my tax benefits. Mm-hmm. And this is something that was dramatically impactful the third thing is reinvested equity. So that's, I already went through how that works with just trading up, right? And I always mm-hmm. say it's not reinvesting just equity, but mm-hmm. like you're investing. If you know your cash flow, maybe save it up as your reserves, but also reinvest it, reinvest equity through 1031 exchanges. And that's just the trade up method, right? That's the monopoly of just trading that, you know, one greenhouse for the red hotel or whatever it is, or multiple of them. And the next one is tax benefits. And honestly, guys, this is the thing that like this separated me from being slightly wealthy to really kind of scaling. It's like being able to scale dramatically. And this is where we found out about like things like accelerated depreciation. We run an eight-figure business, and every single year, our goal is to buy enough real estate to offset our taxes completely. Taxes is the biggest, biggest expense all of us at whatever income level. That's the easiest way to give yourself another raise, right? Is to lower your tax bill. Fortunately, real estate has the best tax advantages because the IRS incentivizes us to do things what they want us to do, stimulate the economy, provide housing, all things that we need. So real estate just normally has tremendous tax benefits where if you have, you know, $100,000 of cash flow, that's really tax-free if you're doing depreciation and leveraging and all these things, all your write-offs. So that's the equivalent of like $170,000, $180,000, depending where you live, right, of earned income. But just like we accelerated the depreciation to do things like that where we could reinvest that money instead of giving it to Uncle Sam, we reinvested it in other properties that created more cash flow, had additional tax benefits, right? And we just scaled up that way. And that was so dramatically huge. So figure that out. And the fifth thing is just surrounding myself with the right people, building my team, right? These are all the...
You literally hit the nail on the head. Like I literally have the exact same points in my notes. So thank you for sharing them, man. And I thought that'd be a nice bonus at the end for the audience. So thank you for sharing those things. These things, like Zach said, a lot of rich and wealthy people do them. He do them. And these are the things that make you successful. So Zach, if someone's listening and they want to learn more about you, where can they find you online?
We want to drive everyone to our website. That's renttoretirement.com, renttoretirement.com. We have our own podcast, our YouTube channel. We put out a ton of information. If you want to learn about turnkey rentals, if you're listening in the car, you can text REI to 33777 and set up a consultation with our team. But look, we're here to add value. If you just want to learn about investing out of state for the first time or some market data, you know, or investment calculators, got a ton of tools at your resource. So yeah, please, you know, reach out.
Awesome, Zach. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Awesome, Zach. Well, we appreciate seeing you on the show. And when we get to hang out at different events, man, are you coming to the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference next year, man?
I think so. I mean, you guys have been doing such a great job bringing just the industry leaders and investors together that it's just, we talked about surrounding yourself with the right people, right?
Awesome.
You have to do that.
Well, awesome. Well, I hope we get to hang out with you there again. And everybody who's listening, hope they come and hang out with us all next year in St. Louis. So you take care, brother, and have a blessed day.
Thanks, gentlemen.